Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us here on this Thursday. Oh, we have a lot going on today. Capped off by my brother in the final half hour. So, I mean, we have a lot going on today. Jason Galloway from the Wisconsin State Journal is going to join us. Derek Williams will join us. My brother. Now, we're going to take Heather Dinich of ESPN, and we're going to put her on tomorrow's show. So Heather Dinich of ESPN will be on tomorrow's show. Okay, and just felt that was the best way to work it. Since we got Jason Galloway today and we got Derek Williams today, we'll put Heather on tomorrow's show. And tomorrow's show, of course, will be brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Might as well tell you in advance to start stocking up for Championship Saturday. Miles will enjoy. A lot of fun. 1-800-795-9565 is our number. Love to hear from you. Here in the first half hour, we have an open line. Then after that, we've got guest. We have tried to make our preview of the Big Ten Championship game as thorough as possible between Rich Scarcella and Matt LePay and Jack Ham, and now later Jason Galloway and Derek Williams and John Petrzak from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We've tried to make the preview of the game as complete as possible, give you as many viewpoints as possible heading into what is going to be a very interesting game. Looking forward to it very much. And then we'll have Heather Dinich on tomorrow as well to give you the national viewpoint of where everything sits at this point. And Heather will be joining us tomorrow, courtesy of ESPN. We did deviate just a bit. We had Seth Greenberg on from ESPN to talk college basketball. That was on Tuesday as part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. And, of course, we had Nathan Davis on as well. So we've had a lot going on this week. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have. I mean, whether I enjoyed it or not is irrelevant. Whether you enjoyed it or not is completely irrelevant. You're the only the reason we're doing the show. So I hope we've given everyone a viewpoint of where everything is right now leading into the game. Very quickly, so everyone understands how this works. Penn State is going to fly out tomorrow to Indianapolis. James Franklin and Paul Christ each have press conferences tomorrow at Lucas Oil Stadium. It's mandatory. They have to be there. So Penn State will leave a little earlier. Penn State's going to leave maybe about an hour and 10, hour and 15 minutes earlier than usual. Penn State's also staying two nights because the game is so late on Saturday night. They will not come back till early Sunday morning. You're allowed to travel 70 players as if it is a normal Big Ten road game. So both Wisconsin and Penn State travel 70 players. They have to designate the names of who the 70 players happen to be. James Franklin is taking the rest of the team, but they have to bus out. They will have to bus out and then bus back. But he wants them to see the atmosphere of it. He wants them to see what it's like. He wants them to get used to what it's like so that should Penn State get back during their tenure as players, they will at least have a feel of what it feels like to be at a Big Ten championship game. And, of course, the goal is going to be to try and get there every year. But they have to sit in the stands. Now, that's not unusual because in the Big Ten basketball tournament, the Big Ten basketball tournament is run exactly the same way as the NCAA basketball tournament. You are allowed in the Big Ten only 22 people on the bench. That's it. That's the same as the NCAA. You're only allowed 22 on the bench. Now, you're going to keep your players on the bench. So say, for example, let's take Penn State, for example. Penn State has on its roster 14 players, including Satchel Pierce, who is sitting out. So they have 14 players. And of the 14 players, 12 of them are scholarship players. Two are walk-ons. So Penn State's one below the scholarship number. So they would put probably, let's see, Satchel Pierce is the guy that transferred from Virginia Tech. So he would be in street clothes, and they would probably put him in the stands. So it'd be 13 players, four coaches, head coach and three assistants. So now that gets you to 17. Who are the other five? Your director of basketball operations is probably one. That gets you to 18. Your trainer absolutely is another one. That gets you to 19. And then you probably go with three managers. That gets you to 22. Well, that's the same story here. Now, in terms of the sideline, in terms of coaches and so forth, that's the same number as always. Managers, same number as always. But you can only have 70 players designated. That's it. There are only 70. You can, the quote, players 71 through 115 are not allowed to be on the sideline. So they'll have to sit in the stands. There's not going to be a limit on the number of managers. There's not a limit on the road and the number of trainers or whatever like that. Though it doesn't work like an NCAA basketball tournament or a Big Ten tournament where you have to designate 22 people. But I'm explaining to you how this works so that you know. You're not allowed to go in earlier. So in other words, it's the Big Ten championship game. This is not like a bowl game. A bowl game which, for example, you can go in earlier because, guess what, you have no classes. The Big Ten has always stated, whether it was the Big Ten tournament or the Big Ten football championship game, that it's to be treated like a regular season in terms of travel. So if I'm the number one seed in the men's basketball tournament and my first game is not until the quarterfinal on Friday, I can't go till Thursday after 12 o'clock. I can't go any earlier than that. Even though the tournament starts Wednesday, I can't go till Thursday. If my play starts Thursday, I have to go Wednesday. If I play Wednesday, I have to go Tuesday. But you can't just go Tuesday, spend 3 days there, work out and whatever, then play your game Friday. Can't do that. Same story with football. Okay? Both teams must be in on Friday, and both coaches must be there for their press conference. All right? They're not allowed to go any earlier than that. Since this is the first time Penn State's ever been a part of this, I figured I would explain it to you, the audience, as to how it works. That way it takes away some questions as to how it works. It's not a bowl game. So since it's considered a road game for both teams, and both teams have to turn in 70-player rosters and then go from there. Now, if you take an injured player, say, for example, and I have not seen Penn State's 70-man roster yet. I'll get a copy of that tomorrow before I get on the plane. I don't need a 70-man roster now. I pretty much know who's playing. But, for example, if you want, let's take Andrew Nelson. If you want to take Andrew Nelson on the official party trip, he does count as one of your 70 players. And injured players do travel for road games. But they always count against the 70 in conference. So say, for example, you want to take three injured players that you know are out for the year, whatever, but they're such great leaders and a great influence on your squad. You want them around and so forth. Okay, you're really only going to have 67 active players. They count. Sean Lee, for example, in 2008, I believe Sean Lee traveled to every road game that year. In 2008, Sean Lee traveled to every road game because Joe Paterno wanted to have Sean Lee around his program every day. So instead of 70 players that you could have available, you have 69. So I hope that answers some questions for you as to how this works. That's it. And that's, you know, as for the coaches, the number of coaches, the number of trainers, things like that, no, that doesn't come into play. Not, it's because you don't have the strict bench idea as they do with, you know, because look, a basketball bench is limited seating, football sideline is not. 1-800-795-9565. I see the phone is ringing, so that's a good job. That's good. 1-800-795-9565. So I'll answer your questions, and then we'll take a quick break and talk to whomever and do that. But I hope that answers your questions as to how it works and why it works the way it does. James Franklin says when they do have the Big Ten meetings in the spring, he's going to bring up the fact that he'd like to see all the players have the ability to travel. You know, put them all on the plane. Put, you know, let them all go. Let them all be a part of it. But for now, that's the Big Ten rule. That's the Big Ten rule since they instituted this. We'll come back with more in a moment. Jason Galloway coming up in the next half hour from the Wisconsin State Journal. Derek Williams at 4:06. Predictions with my brother at 4:35 on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Come on home to convenience. Come on over with style. Come on home to Kohl's.
Come on home to Kohl's Hardware for all of your Christmas decorating needs.
Make your season sparkle with everything you need to create your own winter wonderland. Kohl's has a large assortment of brightly colored and energy-saving LED Christmas light sets.
Plus, Kohl's has all the things you'll need to hook up your Christmas lighting, like extension cords, timers, remote controls, and power strips.
For one-stop shopping, Kohl's makes it easy to decorate your home to be merry and bright.
Kohl's Hardware gift cards make the perfect present. Purchase a Kohl's Hardware $25 gift card and receive a $5 Kohl's reward card for yourself.
Check out the sale prices in our new circular at kohlshardware.com and sign up for exclusive online offers year-round.
Come on home to Kohl's.
Kohl's Hardware.
Come on home to Kohl's.
We're right around the corner, right here in your hometown. Come on home to Kohl's, your home for Christmas lighting.
Come on home to Kohl's.
Kohl's Hardware.
Come on home to Kohl's. Come on home to Kohl's.
Want to win a brand new truck from Sunbury Motors for yourself or someone in the family? Thanks to Sunbury Celebration, you can win one. That's right. Win a new Ford F-150 XLT 4x4 at CelebrationRaffle.com. Raffle tickets $100 with only 600 sold. Amazing odds for winning, and all proceeds benefit Sunbury youth programs and activities. Check out the sweet ride and learn all about it, the giveaway, and more at CelebrationRaffle.com. Plus, buy your ticket by December 1st and be entered to win an early bird drawing of $500 cash. All online at CelebrationRaffle.com.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Jason Galloway, Wisconsin State Journal, next half hour to talk about Wisconsin football. Derek Williams, who was a part of two Big Ten championship teams in 2005 and 2008, critical in the success of a pair of Big Ten championship teams, and is also now our sideline analyst on the Penn State Sports Network, will join us at 4:06, and then my brother in the final half hour with his predictions for the week, looking to bury me into the turf forever. And then we'll have a preview show of the Big Ten championship tomorrow that includes Heather Dinich from ESPN. And Heather's done a great job of covering this. She's been able to talk with four former committee members to get a read on how it works from their perspective. And she's been trying to slice through everything to figure out what they're thinking and why they're thinking it. So she will be on the show tomorrow. So we'll have a full preview of the Big Ten championship game tomorrow. A couple little minor things, and these are just minor things, for example, where it just doesn't give credit where credit is due. I've read enough where Penn State's looking for its first outright Big Ten championship since 1994. You know, I think that stuff is just so belittling. while being, quote, factually correct because they tied Ohio State in 5-8. Well, guess what? Penn State beat Ohio State in 5-8. That's why Penn State won. Penn State's looking for its first Big Ten championships in 2008, okay? And I'd see first outright. It's belittling, okay? To the players of the 5-8 teams, those are belittling statements from whomever wrote it, as far as I'm concerned. While factually correct, it's just ignorant. And after a while, I'm not tolerant of ignorant much anymore. There's too many smart alecks trying to do whatever in this, as opposed to the people we try to get on that are responsible, intelligent, have perspective. So, not big into that. But Jason Galloway, next half hour, will give us a good perspective. I'm anxious to hear from Derek Williams, too, today. Find out what... Because D-Will's been on the sideline all season, which means there's no reporter that has been closer to what has been happening on the bench than him. So what's happening on the bench? What are they talking about? How are they reacting? What's the body language like? What's the confidence level like? What's, you know, how are the coaches reacting to things? You know, what's he seeing at field level that maybe I'm not seeing up where I am? So we'll get Derek's perspective on all that and more coming up in the next hour. We'll do that. And then tomorrow, a full and complete preview of everything going on. Rob Gronkowski, back surgery, out 8 weeks. Jay Cutler, shoulder surgery, headed to IR. Mike Zimmer, the coach of the Vikings, had eye surgery. He won't be on the sideline for the Cowboy game tonight. Lane Kiffin and Les Miles, both candidates for the Houston job. LeBron James, Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. Pirates and Nationals talking about a possible Andrew McCutchen trade. Those are some of the headlines today. Colorado faces Washington tomorrow night, Pac-12 championship game. It's on Fox. The new basic agreement between Major League Baseball and the players. They beat the deadline, got it done. Labor peace continues in baseball through 2021. The All-Star Game will no longer determine which league hosts the World Series. That's out. It's back to being what it always has been, a meaningless exhibition. That's fine. Best record in the regular season will determine the World Series home team. There's enough interleague play now where that has meaning. There's enough interleague play now. So those are some of the headlines besides Penn State and Wisconsin. Big win, by the way. Great win the other night for Bucknell. By the way, we have Nathan Davis on Monday show, by the way, the next week, from what I understand. So, we're going to have him on Monday. Then after that, it'll be Tuesdays. But there's circumstances that go into why we're going to have Nathan on Monday show, which is great. And we'll have, you know, obviously we're going to have a lot to talk about on Monday as to how the whole weekend played out. 8 o'clock will be the kickoff. It's actually 8:17. 8 o'clock the kickoff. 6:30 the airtime for the Dietz and Watson tailgate show Saturday night at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. Coming up in the next half hour, Jason Galloway, beat writer for Wisconsin football for the Wisconsin State Journal in Madison. Then Derek Williams in the 4 o'clock half hour. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Call
calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. This day in sports history, in 1924, the Boston Bruins and the Montreal Maroons played the first ever NHL game to be played in the United States. The game was played at the old Boston Arena. 1964, the Houston Colt 45s changed their name to the Astros, right before they were about to move into the Astrodome for the 1965 season. 1967, Seattle was awarded an American League franchise. They were the Seattle Pilots. They are now the Milwaukee Brewers. 1967, Wilt Chamberlain set an NBA record when he missed 22 free throws. The night he scored 100 in 1962, he was 28 of 32 at the line. 1984, Doug Flutie won the 50th Heisman Trophy. And in 2003, bidding began on the baseball that was deflected by Steve Bartman. In the Cubs-Marlins game, the ball was sold on December 18, 2003 for $106,000 at auction. The foul ball appeared to be headed to the glove of left fielder Moises Alou in Game 6. The Marlins ended up winning 8-3. The Cubs then lost Game 7. We all know the history, but all that is now forgotten in Cub lore now that they've won the World Series. Very pleased to bring in Jason Galloway from the Wisconsin State Journal in Madison, beat writer who covers Wisconsin football. Jason, first of all, thanks a lot for the time. Number one, Wisconsin's offensive line, especially early in the year, is pretty well beat up. What have they been able to do to overcome those injuries and become a good offensive line?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people forget their first injury, which was Dan Bolts, a guy that was a three-year starter coming into this year, but it tore his ACL in the middle of last season and was expected to come back 100% this season for his senior year and retired from football right before the season began because he was just dealing with too many effects from the injury and didn't want to continue. And that was a really big loss. And I think a lot of people forget about that. And then, you know, Jacob Maxwell, who started the season at right tackle, has been out, the second half of the season now. And they've also dealt with a couple injuries at left guard. Some guys going in and out with various injuries out here and there for a few weeks. So I think they finally got five guys they feel good about, though. They're relatively healthy outside of Maxwell and Bolts, obviously. So I think that they feel like that group is getting a little bit more continuity and they're starting to find their groove a little bit. There's still a lot of inconsistencies there, but I think they feel better about the group than they did, maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago.
The experience of Clement at tailback, how important is that? And down the road, could Shaw actually be the best of the three?
Yeah, I've always been really high on Clement. I think he's a really talented player, and obviously he went through the injury issues last year, and I think this year he was kind of a victim of that inconsistent offensive line early in the season, mm-hmm. And he started to kind of pick it up here in the second half of the year, and I when I go back and watch these games, I track yards before contact and after contact when I'm rewatching these games during the week. And he's got more than 60% of his yards this season have come after contact, and it's a really high number compared to the other two guys. And I think especially early in the season, he was getting hit in the backfield a pretty high number of carries, and he was able to make a lot of plays out of nothing. So I think he's really good. I think Shaw has the potential to be a star here at Wisconsin, though. Yes. Obviously, he's only a redshirt freshman. He is the talent is there, you can see, but he's just kind of starting to get in the groove of knowing the offense a little bit better. He even said a few weeks ago that earlier in the season he was just kind of running at the offensive line and hoping for the best, and now he kind of understands more about what the offensive linemen are doing on each play and where exactly he should be running. So I think he's got a lot of talent. I think he's going to be really good in a couple of years. And of course, Clement's a senior, so this is kind of his last go around. And I think Shaw could potentially take over as a starter next year and have a really good season.
What kind of push has Jazz Peavy added to the offense on the outside?
Yeah, he's been big. He had a couple big drops this past game against Minnesota, but I think generally speaking, he's been really good this season. He's been He's a guy that's probably one of the fastest guys on the team, runs good routes, so he's able to get open probably more often than any of the other pass catchers. And then you guys have probably seen him on that jet sweep play. You know, they bring him across the formation and hand the ball to him on the run, and it's a play that's been really successful for them to give him the ball, you know, on the run going to the outside. And, you know, he's kind of made that play his own. He had a 71-yard carry against Minnesota last week. He had a couple really big carries against Ohio State earlier in the season. So I think it's something you could probably look for this Saturday, too. They might try to exploit that against Penn State, try to get PV on the outside, get him some carries on that jet sweep, and then run some play-action stuff off of that as well. And once you hit a couple of those, then you can fake it and do some other things and open up the offense even more.
One's a redshirt freshman, one's a senior, one's left-handed, one's right-handed. But in reality, in terms of play, what is the differences between Hoynebrook and Bart Houston?
I think the main difference is Houston just gives you a little bit more in the running game. You know, he's a guy that's a little bit more mobile. He can buy time a little bit better than Hoynebrook can in the pocket. And they've actually run a little bit of read option with him in the past few games. He's been, you know, it's been only a few plays here and there, but it's been an interesting little wrinkle that they've kind of gone with Houston there. They'll roll him out a little bit more often as well. You know, I think early in the season, I think a few weeks ago, I would have told you that Hoynebrook was you know, definitely a more consistent passer, and he was kind of the guy you want in there just strictly from a pocket passer perspective. But I think the last few games, Houston has really looked a lot more consistently accurate, and he has more zip on the ball than Hoynebrook as well. So I think if Hornibrook's not able to play, if Houston's able to keep making good decisions like he has been, and if he keeps playing like he has, you know, these past few weeks, then I don't think there's going to be any drop off at all at the quarterback position.
How dependable is Fumagalli, the tight end?
He's really dependable. You know, he's a guy that you know, sometimes he's a bigger part of the game plan than other games. And mm-hmm. You know, we saw in the opener against LSU, they really used him on the tight end screen a lot, and he was a big threat in that regard. He had over 100 yards in that game, and that was obviously a really close Wisconsin win that was key to their season. And in other games, I think the one thing with him is he's really improved as a blocker this season. You know, that was a weakness of his when he got here. He was always that receiving threat, but I think he's really stepped up in the run game for this team, and it's kind of allowed them to get that extra blocker on the edge. When you have a tight, you know, two tight end set in there, I think he's better than he has been in the past at beating his guy off the ball. So, you know, obviously he's got good hands and he can give you something in the receiving game, but I think he's a more complete tight end this year than he has been.
All right, now let's get to the defensive side. What do those, they play the base 3-4, which obviously can then become any front you want. How important have the linebackers been to the stability of that defense?
Oh, I mean, they're incredibly important. Those guys are the stars of this defense, really. I mean, you look at Vince Beagle and TJ Watt at outside linebacker, and, you know, people will kind of know those two for their pass rushing ability, and they do affect the passer a lot. But I think another thing that gets overlooked is how good they are at setting the edge of the defense on the outside. They'll blow their guy off the ball for, you know, a couple yards back. And you know, if a running back's running to that side, it's really hard for that player to get around Beagle or Watt a lot of the times if they're setting that hard edge, and it makes them cut back inside toward the inside linebackers, you know, TJ Edwards, you know, Ryan Connolly, those guys to clean up and make a bunch of tackles. So those guys are really, really dominating, and I guess, but you know, both in rushing the passer and stopping the run. And you know, I think it's a unit that it's kind of crazy to think too. I mean, two of their best linebackers are out for the season too. Jack Sitchie was having an All-American type season, right, and he's out for the year now after he suffered the torn pectoral muscle against Iowa. Mm. And you know, Chris Orr was injured on the first play of the season, and he had a big breakout season last year. So they're really deep at the position, obviously. And I think even with those two guys out there, they're one of the best units in the country.
What the secondary had 12 altogether, and the defense had 12 picks last year. This year, 21, but 11 in the last three games. How much is that the secondary, and how much of that is the pressure that Watt and Beagle put on?
Yeah, it's definitely a combination of both, I'd say. I think I think the pressure is probably it really starts with the pressure, right? I mean, if you're not getting that pressure, and the quarterback can sit there and just wait till somebody gets open, you're not going to get those interceptions. But I think it's also a matter of the guys, you know, actually making the plays this year that they weren't last year in the secondary. You know, they were in position a lot of the time to get interceptions last season and just either drop the ball or just couldn't make a play. I think this year you see a lot more often, you look at a play like, you know, if you go back to that Minnesota game last week, Sojourn Shelton made a really nice play on the ball late in the game for his second interception.
Fabulous. That ball was deep down the middle. It's a fabulous play by him.
It really was. And that's the kind of play that he just wasn't making the past 2 years really here. And then a week before that against Purdue, Leo Musso went up and made a one-handed interception. A really nice play by him. And so those guys are just, you know, they're catching the ball. They're actually making the plays this year. And then, of course, Beagle and Water are playing a big part, too, in making sure the quarterback is rushed and making those throws.
Have they faced a pass offense comparable to Penn State yet?
That's a good question. I don't think they probably haven't. I think when you look at Ohio State, maybe that's the team that's kind of close to that, that's sort of comparable offensively to Penn State. But even then, when they played Ohio State in the middle of the season, it was the Buckeyes offense that was sort of going through a little bit of a drought, sort of struggling a little bit on that side of the ball. So I think you get some of the same elements as far as Trace McSorley being able to extend plays and allow his receivers to just kind of work downfield by escaping the pass rush, kind of like JT Barrett was able to do in that game too. But I think they've seen something sort of like this, but the way Penn State's playing right now and the kind of points they're putting up, it's definitely going to be a challenge.
In the end, and this will be my final question, I appreciate your time very much.
Not a problem.
No, we appreciate it very much. What in the end do you think are a couple of the swing factors in this game between Penn State and Wisconsin?
Well, I think it's really just, I think it really comes down to whether, Penn State can get the explosive plays they've been getting the last few weeks or over the second half of the year. I mean, they've been living off, those deep passes and the teams they put up, 39 or more points in five straight games, I think.
And, yes.
Doesn't seem like anybody can stop them. And I think this Wisconsin defense has done a really good job of eliminating those big plays this year. They've obviously been one of the best defenses in the country, and I think that they allow their defensive backs to challenge receivers, but they've also been good at just not allowing the deep ball and making sure that they make a defense. I think they do a good job, especially when Wisconsin's offense is eating up a lot of clock. They're one of the best teams in terms of time of possession. A lot of times they're going to play the field position game with you and make you drive the length of the field and not give up that big play. And I think that might be the key, is just to see if Penn State can get a couple of those, long passing touchdowns that they've seen the last few weeks, and if Wisconsin is able to really make them work for everything they get.
Jason Galloway, thank you so much. Appreciate your time very much, Jason. I look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis on Saturday night.
Okay, thank you.
Jason Galloway, Wisconsin State Journal in Madison. We'll come back with more in a moment. 1-800-795-9565 on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motor. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. And obviously big week. We'll have Derek Williams on next half hour to get his perspective on what he's seen this year. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. Play-by-play call of the day coming up in the next half hour, then Derek Williams. And 1-800-795-9565 is the number to call, and I do see calls are coming in, and we'll take those calls. It'll be 8 o'clock coming up on
Saturday night. And the airtime will be 6:30 for the Dietz and Watson tailgate show. And that'll include, obviously, James Franklin on there. We'll take your questions, comments. Jack Hamm, Derek Williams, and I will do that in conjunction with Roger Corey before the game on Saturday evening, and we'll get you up to date on everything going on. Doug in Wellsboro trying to get a jump on the crowd. Hello, Doug. How are you?
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm well, Doug.
Is James doing the call-in show tonight?
He will do the last segment tonight.
Okay. How's Saquon doing?
He's fine. I mean,
is the ankle
really,
wrapped?
I mean, really, what? Doug. Doug, he's fine. Yeah, he's
okay.
Fine. I mean, he's been fine all week.
He didn't look fine Saturday coming off the field. He was limping pretty hard. I mean, okay, I'll take your word for it.
I mean, I understand that, but what did James say earlier in the week?
Yeah, but that's coach speak. You know, I mean, he could say anything.
No, it's not. But he said he's fine. He meant he's fine.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's fine. He is fine.
Okay.
That quote is accurate and to the point.
Okay. I believe you, Steve. I believe everything you say.
Okay.
Now, okay, I know you reviewed the tapes and stuff. Give me a couple of spots to look at as the game starts to where I can tell how things are going. Is Gaia going to be able to handle that nose tackle of theirs?
That's a really, really good question. That's going to be, I think, one of the keys right away. Their nose guard is good. He's not a great player, but he is good. I mean, he's strong. And Gaia's going to have to handle him. And there may be times they're going to have to double him once in a while. But that does free up one of the inside linebackers when you do that. You know that Trace wants to read that defensive end on the RPO to begin with. And those defensive ends happen to be Watt and Beagle. And what they'll do is they'll play a three-man front with four linebackers, but they'll take those two linebackers and they'll make it a four-man front, a five-man front, like the old-style Oklahoma defense. And you're right, the nose tackle is going to be one of the keys. Gaia is going to have to do a good job on him. There's no question about it. He cannot get pushed into the backfield and have success.
How do you feel about Sickles and Schwann and everyone against their tackles?
I actually feel good about that. I think Sickles and Schwann, especially if it's a third and obvious, I think Sickles and Schwann are going to do pretty well. I think they'll be able to get pressure on either quarterback and make them throw the ball before they want to. That's one part I actually feel comfortable about. I also think Penn State, when they put the four defensive end look in there, they are going to give away weight. They're going to give away, obviously, some power, but they are quicker than Wisconsin is up front.
Okay, last thing for the top of the hour. How are they going to win this game? Are they going to have to throw the ball and hit big plays to win this game? What do you feel about this game? No matter what all these other guys say, what do you feel how this thing is going to go?
Well, I think throwing the ball is actually very important in this game. I really do, and I've felt that since day one. You know, Saquon Barkley, obviously, if they can get him going in the running game, that'd be great. But I think one of the keys will be throwing it. I think Wisconsin's secondary is very good. I think the pressure off the edge with Beagle and Watt is very good. But I also think that they haven't seen a passing attack like this year. I mean, you look at the Western Division. It's one team after another that runs the ball. Even Nebraska, Tommy Armstrong did not have a particularly strong year. I mean, the better passing teams in the West happen to be probably Northwestern, and they're good, not great, and Purdue, and they don't have enough horses in the barn to pull it off. Everybody else pretty much runs the ball in that division. And then when they had their crossover games, they were Michigan State, Michigan, and I can't remember their other crossover game. But none of them were really great at throwing the ball.
All right,
I think Penn State's the best passing. I think Penn State's the best passing team they've seen.
All right, thanks for everything, Steve.
Thanks, Doug. Yep. All right, next hour, Derek Williams. Sideline analyst, Penn State Sports Network, will get his take on what he has seen this year. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.